Miami Dade.
My name is Sammy Amadi.
You
know, first things first, I want to thank God for another day clean. And second, I want to thank God for waking up this morning, because a lot of people wake up this morning. The Kaiser Nama is worse we do recover. Now I want to thank the New Jersey Regional for asking me to come share my spirit of hope with y'all on this topic here, saying yes when you really mean no. And I'm just grateful to be clean and serene on a Saturday night. I ain't say just clean, y'all. Read the coin. I say clean and serene on a Saturday night. You know, before I start sharing on this topic, I want to get some things out of the way. Now, my home group is called Serious Step Meeting. And we meet there on Sundays at 5:30 down on 31st Street between 6th and 7th Avenue. Now, my home group is a 12-step meeting. We come out of Stoic Guide book. And it's a very mature meeting. If you're around the area on 31st Street at 5:30, come and visit my home group. I guarantee you, you'll hear a message. And the reason why you hear a message is because I'm the chairperson of that meeting. And I'm not saying that out of arrogance either. The 12th edition talks about we pick up information as we talk to members and visit various groups. I don't stay stuck in the boogie down Bronx. You know, I've been blessed to carry the message up and down the East Coast. So on this process, on the journey here, I've been blessed to meet new friends on this journey here. So I bring diversity to my home group. So if you're around the area, come and visit my home group. I guarantee you hear a message. You know, I don't know about some of y'all. You know, I've been clean, right? And I'm impressed about my clean time. I've been clean 16 years. And not only am I impressed about my clean time, I'm impressed about the motivation and enthusiasm I still have towards my recovery. Because I have a powerful disease called addiction, not drugs, that will check in from time to time. From time to time. Just to see if the ideals and thoughts of staying clean is paying off. I ain't necessarily talking about drugs. Because disease of addiction will cause havoc over a lot of things that had nothing to do with drugs. And this topic clears it right out, specifically. Listen, Lynch says that drugs is an obvious symptom of our disease. Before coming to the Kaiser Namas, I came from a very good family. I was the only child and I was a mama's boy. I had a good background as a kid growing up. Listen, my mother told me after addiction, if you don't listen to me one day you'll have to listen to somebody else. I'm from the boogie down Bronx, had a good childhood. And my experiences as a kid growing up, right, pertain to this topic, and I want to touch on that for a minute, is that being an only child, right, not having no brothers or sisters, I always wanted to fit into something. So I followed my cousins, and we all lived in the same building, right? And my cousins, right, they was much older than me, so I wanted to be part of what they were doing. So they got into the drug game, right? So I started to watch and listen to my cousins. And as an early child, as a kid growing up, right, I started to do some things out of my character based on what my mother taught me. I'm talking about based on principles, values, and ethics. Because I came from a loving, caring family. My mother was a spiritual person. But the problem with me, right, I'm sure we all can identify with this, I always wanted to be part of something based on being down with the crowd. So as a kid growing up, right, I would rob my mother, right, and I would go and sell anything that I robbed. Listen, let's just talk about our disease is present long before the drugs. So I started practicing lying and stealing at an early age. So my mother told me, if you lie, you steal. I didn't know, I didn't have a clue what she was talking about. But I realized, right, that being part of something, right, I was saying yes, but I really wanted to say no because I had no clue about the disease of addiction. Listen, I was doing some things, right, an act of addiction that was causing havoc towards my mother. And she would say, Sammy, why are you stealing from me? I would do anything just to take care of you. But why is you stealing? And I still stole from my mother because I wanted to fit in with the crowd as a kid growing up. And I'm talking about coming from a lack of self-acceptance about who I was. Listen, I had no clue who Sammy was. And I realized, right, when I came to recovery, I started practicing the same behaviors. Because I was making memes in Harlem, right? when I came to recovery, because I came out of Funny Farm, and that Funny Farm was a therapeutic community. So I came to the Cops-Namas like with 3 years clean, had no clue about the disease of addiction. Listen, I had to get diagnosed early in my recovery, man. Listen, I was undiagnosed. You know what it is to be undiagnosed with a deadly disease called addiction? Undiagnosed, y'all. Don't have no clue about the disease of addiction. I thought that drugs was my only problem. And it's insane, like, to think that drugs is your only problem. Listen, the pamphlet called Self-Acceptance talks about a lack of self-acceptance is hard to be undiagnosed with. So I had no clue, man, that my low self-esteem, right, and my self-worth was causing habit in my spirit. When I had 3 years clean, I came to recovery with a gambling issue. And after addiction, I was a number runner. So when I came to recovery with a gambling issue, right, I was playing numbers up in the Bronx, right, illegal numbers. And when I realized, right, I was stopped by the number hole, right, before I went to work. And I'll play my pet number called 123. And I'd be at work talking to my coworkers, and you have to call it the number spot every hour on the hour. So I would call and see what the first number was. The first number was a one. I'm well on my way. I call an hour later. The second number was a two. I'm sweating in the steakhouse that I'm working at right down on Fifth Avenue, and my coworkers are saying, "Sam, you act like you're still smoking cracks throughout the cracks. You sweating so much. Why you act like that? You know you need some drugs or something." So I told my coworkers, "Mind your business. I'm on a fixed hit right now. I'm caught up in a session right now." So I go in the bathroom and pray to God, "God, just give me that one fix. I'll be okay. I can make all the restitution back to my mother, all the harm I caused to an active addiction." And I'm just praying, right, "God, just like last time, I'll be a three." So I call an hour later. You see what the last number was? The last number was a four. I said, "Damn, just missed it." And I'm sharing with y'all, right, that I got sick and tired of being sick and tired because I was still people-pleasing just to be part of the crowd, because I still was hanging around people-placing things for 3 years clean. Listen, I was saying yes when I really wanted to say no, but I couldn't start hanging around the people, right? Because one thing I learned that my mother taught me, right, you attract who you are. So I realized, right, that in my recovery, I made a lot of mistakes, man, because I still was hanging around the negativity. I was hanging around the crowd, but I made a decision because I got sick and tired, because one day, right, I was broke and I couldn't stop by the number hole. So I go to work. I call, see what the first number was. First number was a one. I call an hour later, see what the second number was. Second number was a two. "Please, God, don't let the last number be a three. Please, God." Because I would miss out on $20,000 tax-free. So I called, see what the third number was. The third number was a three. I don't know if I experienced this before, right? You play a number every day, and that one day, your number comes out. It just hurts your heart. It really does. It just hurts, y'all. So some of y'all identify what I'm talking about. And I got sick and tired. Listen, there's a difference between being unmanageable and being irresponsible. And I was practicing being both at the same time. Why? But 3 years clean, I'm still living with my mother, and I'm broke. Couldn't understand, y'all, because I wasn't diagnosed. One of the things I learned, right, that surrender, right, is a principle that comes in action. And I had to surrender to this gambling issue I had. I had to change my people, places, and things in recovery. Listen, I had to change my playmates, playgrounds, and play things in recovery. I said I had to start hanging around people, right, that was unhealthy for my spiritual development. I'm gonna speed up a little bit, right? When I had 5 years clean, my sponsor in my recovery told me, "Sammy, the storm is not coming one day." He said the hurricane is coming one day. So I said, "What you mean a hurricane is coming one day?" So I experienced a hurricane with 5 years clean. My mother died with 5 years clean. And before she died, she said, "Sammy, it's time for your ass to grow up and be responsible and start learning how to pay bills. You talking about a scared little boy, immature, irresponsible, 5 years clean, don't know how to live life. I'm caught up, right, in disease, right, that's causing havoc that had nothing to do with drugs now. Because one of the things I learned also, too, in recovery, the first step talks about you start to become obsessive and compulsive over many things that had nothing to do with drugs. So now I'm caught up, right, with some sexual issues in recovery. Listen, active addiction, I wasn't getting no sex because I wasn't tricking in active addiction. Now, I started practicing tricking when I came to recovery. I went to a meeting, and there was 5 women at that meeting that I was having sex with at the same time, and plus my main woman was there at the same time, too. You talking about being caught up in a grip. It's one thing to be clean in a meeting, right? But how about being paranoid inside the carcinomas meeting? This topic, and I want to talk about it for a minute, right, is that I believe when you have low self-esteem and you live in a self-centered fear, what happens is, right, you have a tendency to start the process of approval-seeking behaviors. You know, I love this topic, right, and just for the day, I want to read it with y'all for a minute. It says, when others approve of what we do or say, we feel good. When they disapprove, we feel bad. Their opinions of us and how those opinions makes us feel can have positive value. By making us feel good about steering a straight course, they encourage us to continue doing so. People pleasing is something else entirely. We people please when we do things right or wrong solely to gain another person's approval. Low self-esteem can make us think that we need someone else's approval to feel okay about ourselves. We do whatever we think it would take to make them tell us we're okay. We feel good for a while, then we start hurting. And trying to please another person, we diminish ourselves and our values. We realize that the approval of others would not fill the emptiness inside of us. The inner satisfaction we seek can be found in doing the right thing for the right reasons. We break the people-pleasing cycle when we stop acting merely to gain others' approval and start acting on our higher powers' will for us. When we do, we may be pleasantly surprised to find that the people who really count in our lives will approve all or more of our behavior. Most importantly, though, we will approve of ourselves. You know, one of the things I learned also, too, in recovery that I hear a lot of people say that they got freedom from active addiction. That's all fine and dandy. There's different levels of freedom in recovery. Listen, newcomers, it's a wonderful thing to have freedom from drugs. But as you stay for a long period of time, right, and you start to experience living life on life's terms one day at a time, you're going to find out, right, that freedom, right, is a wonderful thing. We start to have experience of real freedom when you gain a relationship with God. Because having low self-esteem and low self-worth, right, it causes havoc, right, when you start to people-please, right, and thinking that you're pleasing people, right, but not only you're pleasing other people, right, you're not pleasing yourself because you won't gain the approval of others to make you feel good. And when you spiritually get in a spiritual program, right, you'll find out, right, that spiritually refreshed, right, you'd be alive, but also, too, right, that I find my experience of being in rules of cosmos, you can make a decision to hang yourself with a belt because you're not living right. Yeah. I had a good friend of mine. He had people-pleasing issues. About 7 months ago, he made a decision to hang himself with a belt clean. Listen, drugs is an obvious symptom of our disease, y'all. He was spiritually dead, and I miss him today. You know, living in isolation, right, what happens is you have a tendency to buy into your own commercials. He was spiritually constipated. And when I went to go see him, right, at the wake, it was hard to look at him. He had habits like when he come to a meeting and when a person come and give him a hug, he'd tell a person, I don't want to be hugged today. When you tell people in this fellowship, right, that you don't want to be hugged today, that turns people off. People don't want to be bothered with you. It was real sad to see him in a casket, right? And I learned from my experiences of being here, right? I had to keep working on my spirit, yo. I always had a defect in recovery. I've been criticized for it, for being stingy.
Very tight, very tight, very tight.
I want to talk about relationships for a minute. I don't have a lot of time because I got a lot of experience with this topic, but that's why I'm getting right to the point with y'all. One of the biggest stumbling blocks to recovery seems to be placing unrealistic expectations on ourselves or others. Relationships can be, and I'll say would. It says can be a terribly painful area. We tend to fantasize and project what will happen. We get angry and resentful if our fantasies are not fulfilled. I'm gonna touch on something for a minute. When I had 10 years clean, I got into a relationship. And what I'm about to share, listen, God gonna use me to help somebody. Got to a relationship, and I thought it was gonna be wonderful because she was older than me and she had more clean time than me. Talking about living in fantasy and illusion. When I got to that relationship, it wasn't right, from the jump start. Because I was in a relationship before that, and I cut her off to be in a relationship with this woman who I thought that she was going to take care of me. Because she told me in the meeting, I take care of your ass. So I left her and got into a relationship with her. Anybody know what the word chameleon means? First 2 years was okay. Last 2 years was very unspiritual. I don't know if anybody experienced this before. Breaking up, going back, breaking up, going back, breaking up, going back, breaking up, going back, saying yes when you really mean no. Anytime you get betrayed in a relationship the first time, you can throw the flamethrower at your mate. But what happens when you get betrayed over and over and over and over and over? You can't blame your mate no more. What part are you playing? Because in order to get fucked, you got to get positioned. Like the 8-step talks about, I can't claim victim status no more. I'm volunteering now. Saying yes, but I really want to say no. Every time I went back to the relationship, she would tell me, I'm going to work the 12 steps. I'm going to get a new sponsor. Because I had a resentment towards a sponsor. And the reason why I had a resentment towards a sponsor, I'm going to give you a little detail what happened. My ex-girlfriend, right, she was having an affair with a gay woman. A lot of men probably couldn't handle that emotionally. Thank God for the 12 steps and having some good people in my life. Listen, thank God for having some good men in my life who had experienced what I went through. Because sometimes in recovery, you have to go outside of your area to get some help. There's a word I want to use while I kept going back. It was a word called desperation. 6 steps talk about that familiar pain. And I had a resentment towards our sponsor because our sponsor was gay. And our sponsor was friends with the gay woman that my ex-girlfriend was having an affair with. So I thought that they put two to two together and they worked that out. Talking about being caught up in pain. Listen, when your ass is pained up, you'll call on God. Got betrayed this last day on Memorial Day. It was real hot, about 15 witnesses outside. I'm cursing this woman out. took myself out of my character. Thought about Rikers Island. This time, right, I said no, yo. It's a lot of freedom in just saying two-letter words. N-O, no. But I find out from my experiences, right, it's easy to make a decision, but can you stick to that decision? Cursed her out. My ex-girlfriend was there. Took me home. I told myself I ain't going back no more. Had enough. Sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. I don't tell my sponsees what to do when it comes to relationships. I don't tell my sponsees that you need to break the fuck out. I don't do that. I believe in experiences, y'all. And my ass is waxed. I had enough. Couldn't take it no more. Listen, a reservation could be anything. People think that it's just with the drugs. That's not true. A reservation could be anything based on a relationship. Listen, you can have a reservation and keep going back because you keep picking up the phone, calling pain. But every time you keep going back in that relationship, what happens is it affects your spiritual conditions. And every time I went back, right, it was affecting my spirit. And I share my experiences with people, right, that if you want to let go of a relationship, cut off all communication. No. And mean it. And oh. Like Popeye used to say, I can't stand no more. Can't stand no more. No. I got so much freedom, right? Because I said, and I shared with y'all, right, I got a defect called stinginess. It's one of my characteristics. In my fourth step, I had a resentment towards my father because he was cheap. And come to find out, I had the same characteristics as my father. And I say that all I say is that I'm in a relationship right now today, and it's healthy. At the beginning of the relationship, I had to tell my woman, right, because she'd been spoiled by other men in the past, older men. Because older men, they spend money. And I was come from speaking at a convention up in Albany, right? And she called me and asked me for some money on the train coming back from Albany. I had lost my train ticket, angry, and she asked me for money, and I told her, from your past history and your patterns, because I don't bite my tongue. I told her straight up, listen, I am not your sugar daddy. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. And I believe a relationship like the sponsorship talks about, right? Pamphlet says that it's a two-way street. I believe relationship is a two-way street too. I ain't taking care of no grown women. Sometimes in relationships, you got to set some boundaries. And I believe in communication when it comes to relationships. I have to set some boundaries. Certain things, like based on my salary, I can't afford to do. So I told her, no, I can't afford it. My experience is after coming out of a relationship, right, that I was with that woman for 4 years, and being hurt and went through a painful situation, I went through some experiences, y'all. Listen, intimacy, right, is a big difference between sex. People can confuse intimacy with sex. Intimacy is when you let your guards down, let somebody in. And it's risky at times. So when I got to this relationship, I had to do some inventory on my last relationship I was in. And one of the questions I asked myself, right, and the Stoic guy talks about this in the first step. It says, why do you keep choosing to surround yourself with people who don't have your best interests at heart? Because sometimes recovery, right, you could be hanging around spirit robbers. Sometimes recovery, you could be hanging around spiritual vampires. Because you can't say no. Saying yes. Because you want to fit in with the crowd. I ain't just talking about romantic relationships. I'm talking about friendships, too. That's why sometimes recovery, when you start to build trust and faith right within yourself, you let go of some people that's unhealthy for your spiritual development. And I had to change my playmates, play games, and playgrounds and recovery, man. Listen, on the path to recovery, right, like the 11th step talks about, you might lose friends as you grow spiritually. Sometimes recovery, when you make the decision to grow spiritually, your friends get less. So my experiences on this journey here, one day at a time, I had to cut off some people, right, in the fellowship of the College of Nomads, man. I want to talk about right, in closing, right, in this service for a minute. I love doing NA service. And a lot of times, right, in recovery, when it comes to NA service, there comes a point where we got to disagree without being disagreeable. I'm a part of a speaker jam committee, right, up in the Bronx. And we have one of the best speaker jams on the East Coast called Recovery, A Spiritual Journey. Some of y'all been there. And I'm a programming chair. I got to a disagreement with my ex-girlfriend last Saturday at a speaker jam. She's the vice chair. And she was a newcomer when I started seeing her. Because I was looking to fill that spiritual void. Because my mother had died. What happened was, she didn't want to compromise, and I got real angry because I told a woman from Delaware who was speaking, and she was stuck on the New Jersey Turnpike last week, and she was coming late to the speaker jam. So her speakers were there already. So what happened was, I told her, can you compromise since your speakers are here, and my speaker is stuck on the New Jersey Turnpike? How would you feel, right, if you were stuck on the New Jersey Turnpike, and you was going to Delaware, and you couldn't speak? So she said no. Straight up said no. So I went and talked to the chairperson, right? Talked to him, she came behind me, and she said, Sammy, you behaving like a woman. So I said some words, I ain't gonna say the word, but I said a word to her. So my friends had to throw me in the bathroom, like I was an animal or something. And I wanted to react on it, yo. And the reason I wanted to react, because she told me no, and she meant it. And the old feelings kicked up. Old feelings kicked up, and I reacted off them old feelings, y'all. So I had to go back and make some amends to her. I had to apologize to her right away. Thank God I have a 6 or 7 step in my life. You know, saying no came over a long period of time, y'all, to a certain degree. And I have a lot of freedom. Listen, I believe this, right? I'm going to take a risk with this here. If a person can't handle no in their life, that's because they don't have a relationship with God. God is great, baby. And I can handle no today. Because I have a tight relationship with God today, y'all. And it feels good just to be attracted to yourself. It feels good to tell yourself in the mirror, right, that you have a purpose and meaning in life today, man. I'm so grateful for the program of the College Nomads through the 12 steps and 12 traditions of the College Nomads of learning how to do things for the right reason, right? And when I fall short, not beat myself up because I said no to a person and I meant it and have some self-acceptance with myself and say that, Sammy, that you're not scared to say no today. Because on my job, right, my job is a challenge for me. I'm like a delegate, right, and I work in a hospital. And I work in a non-union hospital, and I'm like the union rep in a hospital. And my supervisor, he's 63 years old, right? And he's real pain in the ass. And me and him get into it every day. He'd tell me to do something, right? And I'll tell him no, but I'm playing with him. But he says, Sammy, you better listen to me. Because he's from down south. He has that old belief system, right, about slave driving. He want to kill you with work. And I'm glad he knows me, right, because he knows I'm a recovering addict. And this is my weekend of work. And tomorrow I'm supposed to work. But because of my relationship with my supervisor, like, he knows that when I need a day off and I need to speak somewhere, he gives me the day off. So I told him last week, I'm speaking at 10:30 Saturday night, and I won't get home till about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I need Sunday off. So he hesitated for a minute, right? He wanted to say no, but he said yes. And reason why, because I'm honest towards my supervisor. He knows who I am. And it feels good. Guess we use the word anonymity when it comes to our job, right? But sometimes, like, when you gain a relationship with your coworkers and your supervisor, right, people let you in and tell them how you feel. It also feels good, man, to share with somebody, like, the inner secrets with somebody, knowing that who you are towards that person who you around with 8 hours in the course of the day, man. Mm-hmm. So I'm just grateful, y'all, that when we talk about anonymity when it comes to jobs, right, yes, some people need to know that we're becoming addicts. But also, too, man, I learned that this, that if I share honesty with a person, right, they will give me respect. Because you never know, you might be helping on the job, yo, mm-hmm. who's struggling. Who's just struggling just to get clean, man. And I'm just grateful, man, to find out, man, the true self and being who you are, right? It feels good to be yourself and be yourself towards other people, because when you're in desperation to say yes all the time, right, you're lacking a relationship with God. And I learned that by twisting it around and saying no today, man, it feels good, man, because when my money's low, and I'm going to share this, right, when my money's low, because I have a big fear of being broke. When my money's getting low, I have a tendency to manipulate and scheme. It should be topics at speaker jams and meetings called scheming and recovery. And sometimes I start scheming and manipulating, right, because my money's getting low, especially when my bills need to be paid. And I would go to my corner man and say, listen, I need some help right now. Even though my money might not be that low, that's because my money's getting low, but I still want some extra money in my pocket, because I need money in my pocket, y'all. Living in New York City, right, the cost of living is very high. So I like to have money in my pocket, because you never know when mercy will come up. So I'm just grateful, man, just to be clean and serene on a Saturday night, to be happy, joyous, and free, to be happy about the whole goddamn thing. Because just for the day, right, I'm not people-pleasing. I'm not looking for approval-seeking behaviors just for the day. I'm living in the freedom that we talk about in the program of Kaisonomics. And I'm so grateful, man, to be clean and serene on a Saturday night. Listen, in closing, if I ain't help nobody, blame me. If I did help somebody, give it to the God of my understanding, man. Because I don't take credit, because I don't have the power like I used to have, man. Because of my, listen, my self-esteem right now is okay. I'm not struggling with no issues right now. I'm in great shape right now, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. But there's always room for improvement to work on one day at a time. Because the disease of addiction will check in. And when it checks in, right, you see where your personal recovery is at. Because shit just happens living life on life's terms, man. So I'm just grateful to be clean and serene. My name is Sammy. Thanks for listening.